Very shortly, we're going to be speaking to Nick Kershaw, but first up, let's have a wee reminder. Some brilliant stuff in there. So it's Nick on the line. Nick, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Johnny. I'm fine, mate. How are you?
Good. Glad to hear from you, mate. What's it like listening to the all the old hits?
they just won't go away, will they? No, it's all right. It's all right. I went through a sort of a vague period from the late sort of 90s and stuff, and I was trying to get some of the new stuff away. I was kind of resenting the old stuff a little bit, but I don't have that problem anymore. I really don't.
Yeah, I suppose you've got to accept that they're sort of very fondly viewed in people's collections and in their memories. You know, these songs meant a lot to people, you know?
Yeah, they did, and people want to hear them when you're playing live, and I don't have a problem with that either.
But I suppose, as you say, probably frustrating when you're releasing a new album and people are shouting out, "Wouldn't it be good?" You know, it's...
It was, but on the other hand, you know, I can't really expect the kind of media exposure I had back in the 80s, and I wouldn't, be honest, wouldn't want it. So, and that's the only way it's going to get turned over, is if I have a massive hit and go through all the same stuff I went through back in the day, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, but then you've got to deal with all the hassle that comes with that as well,
exactly,
don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. So you be careful what you wish for. So I'm quite happy just releasing the new stuff to the faithful and you know, playing the old tunes as well.
Yeah. No. Where are you living now, by the way?
I live in Dorcas, Essex, in sort of near a town called Chelmsford.
Yeah. You used to have a house in Cork, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to have shares in a house in Cork.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but we parted company with that house about a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best investment I've ever made in my life.
Well, yeah, well, given property prices, and especially down south as well, but it just must have been nice to be able to retreat there at times, you know?
Yeah, it was a lovely idea. I absolutely adored that part of the world down there and Clonakilty and that general Cork area.
Yeah, well, listen, if you couldn't sit there watching the sunset and get a song out of yourself, there's something wrong, you know?
I know. No, it was a good... But I haven't been back for years, actually. This is a real shame. I haven't been over this for about 3 years.
But. Yeah. I know you were over in Belfast. It must have been 2-3 years ago for the Belfast-Nashville Songwriters Festival.
That's right, yeah. I was confused. I thought I was on my way to Nashville, but apparently I ended up in Belfast. Got on a plane.
They're flying us to Nashville. No, you're going to Belfast. You'll be there in half an hour, you know.
Yeah, and that was the first time I'd played in Belfast since back in the day, back in sort of 1985, I think.
Yeah, since you were getting chased through the streets, basically, by young women, yeah.
Mayfield Centre, yeah.
So I know you did that sort of intimate and talking about the songs thing in the Nashville Songwriters Festival, didn't you? Yeah.
Yep.
How did you like that?
That was fun. I mean, I've been doing over the last sort of 5 years or so, I've done quite a few little spates of acoustic gigs, and I've got more coming up in September and October. And I just love them. I just enjoy. It's a completely different vibe to doing the band thing at all. You know, I mean, the band thing is all kind of smoke and mirrors and making lots of noise, and pretending to be a pop star.
But when you're doing the acoustic thing, you're really laying bare the songs and how good they are. You know? You
are. It's quite intimidating. It can be quite intimidating. It's terrifying. And a lot depends on the audience, I guess, and how friendly they are.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to pay a few quid in to see you and then not be, well, sympathetic. You'd really have to be...
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
that's what you'd think, Johnny. But I've I could probably give you a few examples over the years. But obviously people come to see you, and then they're on your side. So it's usually
yeah. Well, they generally wanted to go well for you. Listen, I wanted to ask you, of your singles that you performed and that you wrote for other people, what was the biggest selling?
For other people, it had to have to be the one and only for Chesney.
A lot of people didn't know that. I was talking about this last week. Chesney Hawkes, the one and only. You wrote that, of course.
Yeah.
And did you write the follow-ups? Because he really struggled to follow that up.
No, I didn't. I mean, I've said this many times in interviews. I'm a we're dear friends now, even now, and I kind of feel responsible for trashing his career in one fell swoop, really, because I wrote that one song, which was part of a, which they took and put on a soundtrack album, which basically became his first album.
Yeah.
And that wasn't what he did, really. It was a soundtrack to a movie.
Yeah.
So that was my song and a couple of songs from the soundtrack, which went out, and then, you know, then it was all over, and he didn't really have a chance to show anybody what he could do, which was be a really good artist on his own, you know, and write great. He writes great songs. He's got a fantastic voice. He's a brilliant geezer. He just didn't get the chance.
I'm sure he was cursing your name. They're all shouting for that Nick Kershaw song, and I've just written about 40 songs in the last year.
He's written some great songs, but
So did that outsell even your own hits? Did it?
It's on a par. I would say the one thing about the one and only, for some reason, is it keeps getting picked up for adverts and film syncs and stuff like that. It's a very popular one for that kind of thing. But as a general copyright, just for general kind of radio play and stuff like that, I guess there's a big three that I've got, which is a riddle. Wouldn't it be good? And I won't let the sun go down.
Yeah.
And that one, they're the four.
Well, I still do a lot of discos around the clubs. I mean, 80s nights are very de rigueur at the moment, and 90s nights and everything else. So your stuff's getting played all over the place, you know?
Excellent. Good work.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you can't do a party without the one and only being shouted for, you know?
Yeah, and it's still played. I mean, Chess does a fair amount of gigs doing it. He does loads of student unions and stuff, and it's kind of become a bit of a student anthem.
Yeah, no, because I get students coming to gigs, and they'll say the one and only, and I'm looking at them. These guys are 19 years old, and I'm saying, how do you know this? You know, how do you possibly know, you know? So it's, so what's the format of the gig? I know you're doing the Waterfront, 3rd of September. So is it you and a guitar?
Well, it is me and a guitar. As I said, I've done a few in the past, and in the past it's been, you know, just me wandering on with a guitar and bashing out a few tunes. It's been very, very simple. I'm trying to figure out, but I'm working with a production guy and a lighting guy at the moment to try and make it a bit more interesting. So you're not just sitting there looking at a geezer sitting on a stool all night. So there'll hopefully be things to look at, and there'll be a bit more interaction with the audience. So I'll do a Q&A thing. It's more like an audience with, really.
Yeah.
Just didn't want to call it that.
But I love that. I mean, do you explain how you wrote certain songs? And
take questions.
I love to hear that, you know. So maybe you'll tell us what the riddle's about.
If I can remember.
Yeah, I suppose you've been asked that quite a lot.
I have many times, yeah. And it's unfortunately still, I haven't figured out a new and humorous answer. Other than the truth, with the truth being it was always meant to be a guide lyric.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Yeah. It was because the second album was recorded. I had two albums out in 9 months. The second album was just a complete mad panic to get recorded. And it was all written in a hurry. I wrote the whole thing in 2 weeks, pretty much, apart from one song.
Yeah.
So the lyrics sort of kind of came during the process of recording. I kept trying to rewrite the lyric for the riddle, and nobody liked what came. You know, everybody preferred the original because they got used to the sound of the words. And stuff.
Yeah, but they were only in there for the sheer rhythm, you know, the way it felt.
Yeah, and it just sounded right. So we just kept that, and some bright spark at the record company decided he was going to make a competition out of it. which is great. They marketed the whole album with this big sticker on the front of it saying, you know, whoever figures out the answer to the riddle gets to go to the Los Angeles Olympics.
You're very honest, because you could have come off with a really pretentious, it's about, you know, life, and it's, you know, it's all about that.
I got some great responses. People used to send in page after page after page of these series, you know. The old man of Aaron was Ronald Reagan or whoever. It just went on, and some of them made a lot of sense, to be honest.
Oh, brilliant. Listen, what was it like when Elton John described you as one of the best songwriters of a generation? That must be nice.
That was very flattering, absolutely. He was very sweet to me back in the day. He was a very, you know, quite a champion of mine. And obviously I grew up listening to Elton John songs. I think it was the first single I ever bought was Your Song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was coming from a songwriter like him, and then, of course, you did work with him for a while as well, didn't
no,
you?
No, I did a bit and piece. I did some gigging with him, and I did a duet with him in the early 90s.
Did you play the guitar on Nikita?
I did,
so
yeah.
We were talking about this yesterday, about famous people who have guested on other people's songs, you know, so you're another one to the list, you know?
Yeah, stick it on there.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, that was a real... I remember those couple of days in Mill Studios, recording those tracks with just sitting there bashing some tunes out with Elton. That was a great couple of days. That was
it sounds brilliant. Listen, we're looking forward to hearing all the stories and seeing what your lighting guy comes up with for the waterfront. Okay.
So am I.
So 3rd of September, mate. Nick, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Lots of you getting in touch about Nick Kershaw and saying, great interview, what a down-to-earth guy. Yeah, sounds great, doesn't he? We've interviewed him a couple of times over the years. He's a really decent fella. He really, really is. And the gig is basically him and his guitar and some special effects. I think we can read into that. The Waterfront in Belfast, Wednesday 3rd of September. And I love going to see guys like that who have a huge back catalogue of songs. They tell you how the songs were written and everything else. You know, I love that. That's going to be some show.